Coach Ronnie Baines, inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. We got him on the phone this morning. Good morning, Coach. Appreciate you being with us.
Morning. How are y'all?
We're doing very well. Let's talk about this because I know there have been a lot of accolades for you. Where does this rank up there for you?
Oh, Michael, I don't know. It's certainly been very humbling, overwhelming, exciting for the whole family, that type thing. You know, very surprising when it first all came about, but it's a great affair. It's a great honor, but you know, I've been blessed with a lot of things in my life, and trying to keep it all in perspective. It's sort of a culmination of an award. It's kind of I'm kind of winding things up in my life about some things, and this is kind of a great fitting culmination type thing. But I got to tell you, they asked me that question about where all this ranks and where it fits. But I tell you, there've been so many other exciting things in my life, and sports wise, you know, that first state championship we won in Tallahassee, I'll always, you know, be somewhere up there so big. The excitement we had over that first one, you know, you have to kind of rank it up there as a big event high, but how big, I don't know. You know, I still get more excited about my kids and things like that. So, but it was a great affair, great exciting type thing.
With that, you bring up that championship in Tallahassee, which started what has become 7 state titles in Tallahassee, 5 for you in that short span. It was the first state championship that Tallahassee had ever had. So talk about that, what that was like to bring home Tallahassee, its first state title.
Well, that's what it was. It was my first as a coach. It was the first we'd had in the playoff system at Tallahassee. I think Tallahassee had some ranking-type state championship-type things. But it was just that. It was an exciting thing. It was something that we were, at the time, was something we probably didn't think we were capable of doing. And so it was kind of a real big breakthrough to win one and, you know, and have the kids know that they were as good as anybody anywhere and capable of doing that. And you know, I think that's kind of carried over to everything now. I think everybody kind of has that as a goal and kind of shoots for it and looks for the opportunity to win even more.
I'm wondering, you know, after you got the first one, Shane and I talked about this. Once you get one, does it become something that gets easier for you? And could you have ever imagined you would have walked out of here with 5 state championships at Tallahassee?
They asked Nick Saban that this weekend, and he gave a great answer about, you know, and they say once you break through, it's easier to win the rest of them. And he actually took the opposite and said it really becomes harder because the pressure gets to be greater. And there's always the possibility of complacency and to battle through those things. But I thought once we won that first one, actually I thought in change last year, I thought when we were in 85, when we came in second, I thought that kind of set the mood and set the tone and kind of let us know that there was something out there worthwhile that we wanted to work for. And then when we actually won it in 86, and then from that time on, it was almost like that's what we were expected to. I tell you the greatest thing about those baseball teams, about that type thing, that when I came to Mountain Brook and I've seen in other schools, that the only other place I ever saw what we had in Tallahassee is where the kids were aiming and shooting for a state championship more so than they were for personal gain and personal glory, and they weren't playing scholarships or pro contracts or anything else. They were actually playing together as a group to win a state championship. And Vestavia Hills under Sammy Dunn had that going for them. And that's the hardest thing to get done. Everybody wants to be about themselves and worry about what their going to get out of it. And we had just a run there that we had kids playing for a state championship. They were playing as a team together, and they were playing for what the whole team could accomplish. And I think when we finally had it fall apart a little bit, we lost that. That's what we had lost, and that's what we would have had to have gotten back to get back on track right there.
You were a three-sport athlete at Auburn, which is something you never see anymore, obviously. But what was your best sport? You played football, basketball, and baseball.
I got asked that this weekend too, Michael. That's a good question. I think probably baseball. I think baseball was probably the game I was – that was my biggest love sport. But, you know, baseball in Alabama, especially back when I was coming along, wasn't the marquee sport. It was football, and then basketball, and then baseball in that order. But I think baseball was probably the sport. And back when Coach Bryant used to use his basketball scholarships to sign some kids and his baseball scholarships to sign some football players, and so they passed rules that if you signed a basketball scholarship or a baseball scholarship, you can only play basketball. Well, actually, if you signed basketball, you could play basketball and baseball. But if you signed football, then you could play any other sport. So that's kind of how I kind of got wrapped up in the football business and liked football, loved football. But I just actually really probably was better than other and probably should have stayed with them actually at the college level.
Yeah, after high school, you were able to, you know, go to Auburn, and then you went back into high school as a coach, and then you end up in Tattlesee. Tell us how you do come to Tattlesee. How does that job come about? And you know, you did a long run.
I started out coaching in Birmingham at Banks High School. Shorty White, Banks High School was a real football powerhouse back then. We coached the likes of Johnny Musso, Larry Willingham. In fact, I saw all these guys at the Hall of Fame. They're all in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Bobby Johns. Just goes, you know, David Cutcliffe, Paige Cutcliffe, all these guys all played at Banks High School. It was probably the number one sports school in the state at that time. Had that opportunity. Went and coached there for about a year and a half. Then got a head coaching job. Probably too young. Probably shouldn't have taken him. Went to Selma High School, a big 6A school. Was there for 4 years. And I got out of coaching for a year to go to the Alabama School for Deaf in Talladega. You know, your dad, I know, do you know your dad used to work in Talladega?
Yeah.
He had a radio. He
worked
radio
I knew station. About my grandfather. Yeah.
I knew him back then, those days in there. And went back to Talladega to work at the School for the Deaf. Knew I'd made a mistake when I got out of coaching. But the good thing about it was that's when I started officiating football. That was the little bit of window that I had to start officiating football. So I was looking for a job, looking for another head coaching job almost immediately. But I was I was not a head coach for about 2 years, and then was looking for a job. Marie and I had gotten married. She got a call. She got a call from Earl MacArthur, and he called me and asked me would I be interested in coming down to Tallahassee. I knew all about Tallahassee. I had teammates from Auburn who lived in Tallahassee, but I had never been in Tallahassee. I had never been in it. I heard about it. Very much similar to Talladega, with the, they're both Tigers. They're both predominantly were textile mill town, and I'd never been here. And I asked Marie. I said, Marie, have you ever been to Tallahassee? Never will forget asking this. I bet most people don't even know this in Tallahassee. I said, Marie, you ever been to Tallahassee? She said, I was born there. I was born there and lived there for 7 years before we moved to Selma. So. I came down. I came in on Highway 14 up that way. That's the first time I'd ever been in the town. Came down the four lane and was impressed with it. Liked it. Went in and interviewed with Mr. MacArthur. Mr. Little was in the interview. We came in and talked about it, and immediately fell in love with the town and agreed almost that day to come. And I think they liked me. I liked them, and was came, loved every minute of it. Raised all my kids there, was there for 18 years.
I got the chance to go and coach a little bit more in the Birmingham area in high school, and then at Mountain Brook, and then go to Central Alabama Community College after that, and had a lot of success there. But, you know, you continued the officiating, which started at the collegiate level in the SEC in, what, 19, was it 74?
That same year I came to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
As far as the SEC was going. My first year in the SEC, when I came there, when I talked to Mr. MacArthur and Mr. Little, I explained to them that I was starting an officiating career, and they asked me, was it going to interfere with anything I did? And I said, not at all. And they said, well, just go for it. And that was one of the reasons why I came there, because I was able to give them the opportunity to do both.
And you got in the NFL after that. I'm curious, how do you compare the two? I mean, being a coach and being an official, and is there a preference for you, if you could kind of elaborate on that?
No, I'm a coach. That's what I do. The officiating was something that, you know, we high school coaches are doing a lot better now. But back then, high school coaches didn't make a lot of money. It's not what you do. You don't do it for the money type thing. And so the officiating was just a supplemental job, something I did to supplement income. Had a bunch of kids. They all wanted, you know, to drive cars and go to college and do everything else. So we just had to have a second income, and that's how the officiating started. But even these guys that I'm working with now in the NFL are call me coach. That's the part of it that was always the who I am and what I'm all about is the coaching part of it. Now, as far as the SEC and the NFL, the SEC is a lot about college. It's a lot about the camaraderie with the officials, the excitement of game day. It's part of the game. You feel like you're part of it. The NFL is a job. It's a work. There's a lot of pressure in officiating in the NFL, a lot of expectations, high accountability, that type thing that makes it very much a job, that you have to look at it as a job. It's not so much what you go do for something, you go do for fun. You know, I kind of a little college football, something you kind of went and did for fun a little bit and made a little money while you were doing it. But the NFL is a little more like a job. I mean, I like both. I like both the atmosphere of what college football presented, but I also like the expectations and the pressure of working in the NFL, too.
I'm curious. You did live in New York for a little while, too. What was that changing landscape like up in Manhattan?
You know, I'd go speak to people. I used to tell people all the time that I lived in a community in Alabama called Tallahassee, and I would tell them that there were more people in the apartment building complex that I was first lived in New York than there was in Tallahassee in that time. And it's quite a change. It's a lot different living in Tallahassee, I'll tell you that. It's a lot different living in Talladega. It's a great place. We loved it. We were there for 7 years. You know, very appreciative to the NFL for all the opportunities they've given me, and that was a great one. The kids were all grown. I wouldn't go up there with kids, but Marie and I, just the two of us, living in a little old bitty apartment up there and things like that. But it was different, but it was a great experience.
Coach, it's a shame. Hey, of all the officials, both in the SEC and the NFL, who's, in your opinion, is the best official you ever worked with?
Wow. You know, I don't think anybody's ever asked me that. It's pretty good. there were so many good ones. When I went to the NFL, you know, the SEC likes to think and used to think they have the best officiating in the country, and that's where I was working. But there are a lot of good officials all over the United States. certainly the most prestigious and the most represented what all of us want to be in officiating. It was a guy named Jerry Markbright. Jerry was the referee, a little bulldog-looking referee that everybody recognized back when, many years. Outstanding official, outstanding individual. He kind of represented what really good officiating was all about. He's from Chicago, worked out of the Big Ten, that type thing. But for me personally, the best one that I ever worked with as far as teaching, training, and everything else was my referee, Gerald Austin. Gerald Austin, when I got on his crew and worked with him, it was. I think I would have stayed on his crew for years and years and years. He's now the supervisor of officials for the Conference USA. He's the one that hired Mark, hired Rusty, hired Allen, got them started. He's an old school teacher coach like me, and he had a real feel for bringing a crew together, making them better. But he also had that old teaching quality that he could really explain and teach and that type thing. And so, I always thought he was probably the best rules, our best on-field guy that I ever worked with.
You were able to spend a weekend with Nick Saban, at least a good part of it, on Saturday, and Bill Oliver, too. What is it like being with those guys, and what were your impressions of those coaches and some of the other folks you were with?
I felt kind of bad for Coach Saban. He's such a celebrity now that he can't just go enjoy something like this. You know, every function we were, you know, from news conferences to press conferences to just the little cocktail party that they had at the Hall of Fame on Friday night, all of these things. He's such a celebrity that people are just all over him, just interviews, autographs, all this kind of business just constantly in there. So that Saturday morning, it was just the eight of us inductees, couple of guys that were explaining to us what we were going to do, and we sat around, had coffee, had such a nice visit, had a good time. And Brother Oliver, he asked Brother Oliver a question, started complaining a little bit about something about officiating. Brother Oliver pointed to him over and said, "You need to talk to Ronnie over there." We got into a conversation about some substitution things in college and what they were going to do with all these hurry-up offenses and things like that. They were just terrific, and he had the opportunity to just sit and talk and enjoy some company and that type thing. And then Brother Oliver, you know, such a defensive football mind and picking at him and that type thing. And then they picked on me about some officiating things. And then these others got in and laughed and that type thing. And it was just once you could get him away from that public atmosphere that keeps him so tied up, it was really nice, a lot of fun. And I came back and told him I had a whole, you know, new appreciation for him anyway. He's a very enjoyable guy.
Coach, this is Shane again. Hey, we've had a caller call in and wants to know, who is the best baseball player you ever coached?
Say that again. You quiet that time. Who's the best baseball player?
That's right. The caller wants to know who is the best baseball player you coached. He didn't specify Talisi or...
Who was it? Rusty? Rusty called. Rusty
yeah. That's it.
It may have been.
No, I wouldn't touch that with a pistol. I had so many good ones there. I had so many, you know, different, you know how baseball is. Everything's a different position and different type thing. You bring a whole different thing to the table about it. We had some great pitchers. We had some great arms. Shane being one of them. We had outstanding catchers, just one right after the other that showed and did things. Some great infielders. Outfielders that, you know, could run, could throw, hit the whole nine yards. There's never been one I could put my hand on and say he was the absolute best. There were so many good ones that I wouldn't go anywhere near that one right there.
Yeah, Coach, with that answer, I think you ought to consider running for political office.
No, that's not a political answer. That's the absolute truth right there. There were so many good. I've lined up and put a – Martin Rusty have gotten me down and gotten me to make an all-Tallahassee team. And I tell you what, I can put two or three all-Tallahassee teams out there that are incredible, man. I mean, I'm talking about I can put some guys out. If I could have had those guys in college, and I'm talking about I would have loved to have had those at some of these Division I colleges together that could really play, could hit, could run. I mean – you think about it, one year we had a pitching staff in which we had three guys that were throwing, you know, the most successful one was Jerry Goodman, and he probably didn't throw as hard as the other two did, but he could paint those knees and break a curveball that'd break you back. And then you had Jonathan Rivers and Craig Vaught that were throwing in the 90s, and then, you could go on and on and on with that. Center fielders like Alfred that can run, pitchers every year, Casey Davidson that could run and do, and Derek Heathcock that could throw and hit and run, and Rusty and Mark that played college ball, and John Wilbanks who helped us get it started, it just goes on and on and on and on. There's not an end to it. It just keeps going, right?
Those are some names that everybody knows. I'd love to see that list, by the way, sometime of of those teams.
It's a private list.
Yeah.
All right. No, it's I still have to hedge on some of them right there.
Yeah. Well, Coach, we appreciate the time this morning, and congrats once again.
Hello to everybody in Tallahassee, and I'll be seeing everybody, and I'll be down there soon. I still got the grandkids playing, and I'd like to see them get going again in this baseball. I would. I really would.
Coach Ronnie Baines with us, new inductee into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Quite a distinguished list of inductees in that hall right there that is something to have one of our own in there, for sure.
And well-deserved.
Oh, no doubt about it.